of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians.
As we come to these special days, obviously you know it's always one of those, what should we preach? What would be appropriate and right for us as we contemplate some of the blessings of God, but then also look ahead? This is only a moment in time, and we've got to continue on as a church. The Lord hasn't returned yet. We have work to do. Often I've discovered, at least for these days, the ends of a lot of the epistles are very potent for us and fitting for us. Paul is, in several of his epistles, is writing the last words. And it's, as I've used the illustration before, it's like dad, just before you walk out the door, now don't forget this and this and this and this, all right? And that's really what Paul is doing. Again, he is telling the Thessalonians some very important, distinct things for them to remember and to do in light of what God has done, but also in light of the reality that there's still work to be done. So as we come to the end of the book of 2 Thessalonians, if you recall, Thessalonica, recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul was there for only a brief time, faced persecution almost immediately, both Paul and the church. He was, in fact, we discovered in the 1 Thessalonians, that he was very concerned. He didn't know if they would stay faithful to the Lord. The persecution was that hard. And his time with them in training and developing them was brief, comparative to other churches. So he was deeply concerned that they would not follow the Lord. As he gets the report back, he finds out, yes, they stayed faithful to the Lord. His heart rejoices. Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, becomes one of the dear churches to his heart. They are faithfully following the Lord. Maybe keep your finger here at the end of 2 Thessalonians. If you just turn to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, you can see some of the description of their work. Verse 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, all right, this is always on their heart, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He knew what God had done in their heart and life, and he was rejoicing to see God continue to work in their life. So we come here to chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. And notice that first word in verse 1, chapter 3, finally. All right, here's the final admonition. They are in a spiritual battle still. The circumstances of their time were still bleak. They were still struggling with even false doctrine being taught. He had addressed that in the book, in both books. He's saying, no. The Lord's going to come at his right time, and it won't hinder those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. They'll be raised with us. In fact, they'll beat us to the Lord, all right, at the rapture. And he's dealing with some of those false doctrines that come in, creep in. And now he's saying, listen, the battle is still on, but here's some things to remember. So the message today, really, as we look at verses just 1 through 5 here, Paul asks for some prayer requests for him that I think are very appropriate for us to consider in our own life. What should we be praying about on a regular basis? As we see, God has done some great work here, but there's still work to be done. What should we be praying about? And then in verses 3 through 5, he turns to some words of encouragement, admonition. You could even describe it as a prayer for them. What he wants to see in their lives as well. So I've got four points today. I apologize. 4 points today. They're real simple. I trust that they'll be an encouragement to us as a church family as we celebrate God's goodness and look forward to the day when he will return, but stay faithful until that day. Verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, this is what he should pray for, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we, so Paul asking the Thessalonians to pray for them, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So the first point, as we have this ongoing battle against Satan, sin, and hell, against our culture and time, folks, I guess we would probably recognize that we're in a battle, right? Some of the Supreme Court decisions that came out this past week, those aren't victories. They're just a little step along the way. And I'm grateful for them. I'm glad, ultimately, that our Constitution was upheld. That's really what those are about, all right? I'm grateful that it allows us maybe another opportunity to save another life, both physically and hopefully spiritually. I'm glad that it allows us to continue to protect and defend our own families, whether we're in our home or not, all right? But the great joy and work of the church and of us as believers is to continue to reach souls for Christ, disciple them, and prepare them for eternity. Why are we here today? I hope it's not just to get a good feeling that I've done something good for God today. If that's why you're here on wrong motivation. I'm being blunt, I realize, but the reality is we're gathered here today on purpose to worship our great God, whom we will serve forever, and to grow in Christ. And so he prays very specifically. He says, listen, the work is ongoing. So point number one is pray. And what should I be praying for? Well, he says there in verse 1, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. He'd used the word of God or the word of the Lord already in the book. Then he's talking about the word that he'd preached. Clearly, we're speaking of the scriptures here. The scriptures that we proclaim here at Heritage Baptist Church have tried to be faithful to always proclaim the truth and the reality of it, rightly interpreting it. We need to pray that God will allow us to continue to let the Word of God have free course and be glorified. Free course. What are we talking about here? Is it like I can sign up and get a class for free? A free course? Okay, thank you. All right, thanks for the... Okay. No... It means that it's able to have no hindrance, if I can put it this way, to run rapidly, to accomplish its great work, to be, here's a bigger term, to be propagated. Paul said, would you pray for me that the word of the Lord that I've preached and proclaimed to you, and as I'm going out and work of the ministry, that it would allow, that God would allow the word of God that I'm preaching and proclaiming to be propagated, to be heard, to be accepted and believed. That it would run rapidly. Would to God that we would have another season like that Paul experienced, when numerous churches are established, many people come to Christ. Folks, we need to pray that God would help us here. This is where we're at. This is where God has placed us. That God would allow the Word of God to be propagated in Roscoe, Rockton, Rockford, Loves Park, McChesney Park, Beloit, South Beloit, and beyond. Right? If it's not propagated through us, it won't be propagated. We are the tools that God has given as believers. I realize there's other churches here, I understand that. But we are the Christians are the tools to share the gospel. Wouldn't it be great to see it run rapidly here? Amen. Now, why hasn't it? You say, well, you're making a judgment call. Maybe it has. Well, to see that the whole region is affected for Christ, I would say that you would admit that, well, okay, there's a lot of darkness here. Go to one of our public schools, all right? Enough said. So why hasn't it happened? Paul said, pray for me. Believer, let me encourage you. Are you praying that God would use us, would use you to share the gospel, to see it run rapidly? And the follow-up question is obviously very appropriate. What are you doing about answering that prayer? Are you being the tool in God's hand to affect our community and our time for the Lord Jesus Christ? Your neighbor, do they know the Lord? Well, then what are you doing about it? That co-worker, do they know the Lord? Well, then what are you doing about it? May God help us to pray that the Word of God will have free course, run rapidly, and may He use us to help it propagate, right? It goes on, may the Word of God have free course and be glorified. Aroused to admiration. Wouldn't it be great that again in our culture and time that the Word of God is held up as truth and reality? And notice he goes on and says, may be glorified, even as it is with you. So Paul is dreaming, is praying for, that as he ministers, he said, pray for me, that just like when I came to your town, I preached the gospel, you believed, you heard, accepted, you received it, and then you grew in the Lord. It was with you. Pray that God's word would be glorified wherever I go, that there would be fruit. God's word would be exalted in the hearts and lives of many people. The byproduct of people coming to know Christ and then growing in the Lord is that their culture is affected. Sometimes I think we get the cart before the horse, all right? Not the horse before the cart. That's the way it's supposed to be, all right? There we go. All right. And we, as Americans, I realize we live in this what we call body politic, and politics affect us every day, and it's a part of our culture. And so we become sometimes utterly engaged in trying to change our culture without changing souls. Yes, we rejoice that there were some good decisions made this week. But that means we need to reach some more souls for Christ. Maybe some child that won't be aborted will live here in our town. And just because they're alive doesn't mean that that's the job is done. Their soul needs to be redeemed. May we pray that God would let the word of God have free course and be glorified among us, even as it was glorified in Thessalonica. You stay for this afternoon, and of course, my Sammy Sally story has something connection with whales, all right? I live in the moment, forgive me, all right? As we read about the history of even our Baptist forefathers and what God used them to accomplish in the starting of numerous churches, redeeming of hundreds of people, oh, may that happen again here. Folks, wouldn't it be a joy by the time we come to Heritage Sunday next year that we can't fit in here as a church family? Okay, well, that doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by us praying and getting to work. May God help us to be a part of seeing the Word of God have free course and be glorified. Let's go on to verse number 3. I'm sorry. Go on to verse number 3, but let's not skip verse number 2. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead real fast. A second thing to pray for, all right? Pray that the Word of God may have free course and be glorified. But verse 2, what did also Paul ask for? That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. The word delivered here is the idea of being rescued. And it's talking about, it's very definitive here, the unreasonable. It seems as though Paul was probably referring to a very specific occurrence, something bad happening in Thessalonica at the time. Pray that God, or not in Thessalonica, I'm sorry, in his life, he was facing opposition, all right? Pray that God would deliver us, would rescue us from those who oppose the work of God. These unreasonable people are out of place. They're ethically immoral, improper, unrighteous. And so no wonder he calls them wicked. They are actively working against God and his will. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to describe the culture that we live in, doesn't it? It's in our face every day. Wickedness promoted as freedom, as choice. It's sin. And it's working against the will and plan of God. Let us pray that we may be rescued, that our neighbors and co-workers, our family members, would be rescued from unreasonable and wicked men. There's much biblical precedent, especially in the Old Testament, to pray for our enemies. And in that precedent, I'm thinking of Psalm 10, 11, 12, 13, Psalm 59, psalms that sometimes we would call imprecatory prayers. Prayers of judgment against evildoers. God desires, it's his perfect will, if we want to put it in those terms, for everyone to come to know the Lord and to follow him. Yet there's an enemy, Satan. He has many followers in this world and in the spiritual world. And he is actively, he's not passive, he's actively working against the work of God. To be honest with you, you know, as we've seen pregnancy centers vandalized and so forth, and the warnings put up about churches, it's crossed my mind. Well, what would happen, okay? The reality is they hurt our building. They haven't hurt the church, have they? And those folks need to be redeemed as well. But we can pray, and that's what Paul is doing here. Pray that their work is put down, that we would be rescued from their work. God rescued us over the last 2 years as a church family, didn't he? From the evil work of men and women that would keep us from gathering together. That's a rescue. God answered that prayer. Let's continue to pray that we will be rescued, delivered from evil, wicked men, unreasonable men, so that the work of God can continue to go forward. It seems to be the theme almost every board meeting I go to at Maranatha. Maranatha is obviously in an unusual situation as an educational institution. So they're religious, but sometimes not compared, you know, in the government's eyes. And we often will stop at the beginning or sometime in the middle of that board meeting and stop and thank God that he's delivered that institution from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, we lived in full anticipation of this day when we have a federal administration right now that's utterly against religious training. And we're seeing it again. We just saw an announcement this week. You know, the administration is trying to change Title IX, which affects a place like Maranatha and many other good institutions. What do we pray? Lord, would you stop the evil work of evil men so that the good work can go forward? The training and development of people for ministry would be much hindered if our Bible colleges and institutions would be shut down. Now you say, well, maybe that's a good thing. It'll come back to Heritage Baptist Church and we'll train our own folks here. Well, we're doing that, Pastor Caleb, and others, right? But do you realize how my hands would become tied as a pastor if I had to spend hours teaching Hebrew and Greek to a handful of people here? And pastoral administration and all the other things that go along with ministry? I am grateful for institutions that help us with those things. We need to pray that God would protect. Aren't you glad for Faith Bible Institute here? All you folks that are involved in that? That's another class that I don't have to teach, right? So that my hands can be free to do other things that I think are appropriate and right. But I'm grateful. What if they got shut down? Oh, God would help us, I understand. But let's pray that God would deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. Okay, now verse 3, all right? And we come then to point number 2. Point number 1 is pray. Point number 2 is this, just a simple word again. Rest. Rest. Now, a focus and attention of Paul turns to the Thessalonians. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So, in verse 2, our hearts are like, ooh, heavy. This is scary. There's evil and wicked and unreasonable men out there. And Paul says through with the Lord's help, oh, stop. All right, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. Never forget this. This is where the world doesn't understand us a bit. We can trust our great God even in the midst of hard circumstances, right? The Lord. What an amazing title. He's the sovereign one. He's over all. There is nothing that escapes his attention or awareness. And for his believing child, nothing that escapes his involvement in their life. No matter what you are facing, there's still the Lord. And you can rely on him. This back in chapter 2, we talk about the man of lawlessness there who will be revealed. We're talking about the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation period. And here Paul is using this great title again, the Lord. It belittles the man of lawlessness. He thinks he's God. He'll set himself up as God, say he's the most important. He's not. How many people out there really like to play God in their life and want to be the God of their life and the God of you and me? I'm so glad that we have the Lord, who really is God and whom I can trust. The Lord is faithful, utterly reliable, totally trustworthy. He will never fail you. Now that's hope, isn't it? So no matter how hard the circumstances may be, no matter how evil or wicked our surroundings may become, I still have a Lord who's faithful. I had a good dad. He's here, obviously, you know that. But every once in a while, he dropped the ball. And now you ask my kids, and they'll say, oh, yeah, let me tell you all the times my dad has dropped the ball, all right? God is never that way. He's not human. He's divine. He's perfect. And a part of his very character is that he's utterly reliable, trustworthy. He's faithful. So let us rest in him. And so as he goes on in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish your hearts. He's the one that strengthens you and makes you firm. He settles you in the faith and in life. You don't have to be tossed to and fro by the wicked men of verse 2. He'll establish you, every one of you. Paul here, ultimately in his prayer for them, was utterly selfless. Ministry-minded here. Yes, he had asked for them to pray for him in verses 1 and 2, but now his focused attention is back where it belongs, on the people that he's ministering and serving to. And he says, listen, God will be faithful, who will establish you. Folks, we are a part of a great company of God's children. As we minister and serve to one another, following Paul's example, one of the greatest things you can do in ministry is to help your brother or sister in Christ rest in the Lord. It becomes very quickly evident if you counsel people that you are beyond the answer, the answer is beyond you, I guess I should put it that way. Forgive me, but I sometimes chuckle at professional counselors who think they have all the answers. They just like the paycheck, I think. I realize there's some good ones. I don't take my words too far, but the reality is the answer to our struggles and our problems is the Lord. And if you can help your brother or sister come to rest in him, know his word, live it out, accept it by faith, believe that it's true, and live that way, you will have given your brother or sister rest. The Lord is faithful. Your pastor is going to fail you. Your husband or wife will every once in a while fail you. The U.S. government will often fail you. God never will. And if you can help your brother and sister in Christ, trust the Lord. Now, we go through deep waters as a church family at times. We're in the midst of one now. May we help one another. Trust the Lord. He's our faithful one. He's our rock. You can be a blessing to a brother and sister in Christ if you can help turn their eyes to the Lord and lean hard on him. So he establishes you and strengthens you. Notice the end of verse 3. And keeps you from evil. He's our great guardian, our safekeeper. God will guard you from all the fiery darts of Satan. All. You say, but I still fall. Why don't you obey his word and trust him, and you'll discover that he'll help protect you from those fiery darts. I'm so glad that we have a guardian who keeps our soul. if it was up to us, we would all fail, right? I brought up in our morning class this morning, we're a new members class, talking about the character qualities of a pastor. So I'm preaching myself all Sunday school, right? And it's good. That's healthy for my soul. A pastor's to be blameless. There's no hook in his life on which to hang the blame of some kind of sinful activity. We live in a day and age filled with pornography and immoral wickedness, don't we? It's out there. I mean, you go to a news website, and all the advertisements are very pornographic. And I'm supposed to not set any evil thing before my eye. What do I do about that? I can't. Without the reliability of the Lord guarding my heart, I will fall. By the way, so will you. All right? I must have God guarding my heart. Now, how does that happen on a regular daily basis? Every day, I've got to remind myself, God sees. God knows. He is sitting right beside me, if I can put it that way, as I'm reading that news article, or as I'm driving down the road. God's always there, and I must remember that. And in that moment, God guards my heart. God, I don't want you to find anything in me that would displease you. You're my faithful Father and Lord. And that's the motivation, that's the help that helps me on a day-to-day basis stay faithful to Him. Aren't you glad He guards our hearts? You struggle with temptation? Do you have Hebrews 12, a besetting sin? It seems to always creep up. If you would learn to trust God for that sin, He will help you overcome it. No, I realize it's a struggle, it's a battle, but He's there. He's faithful. He will guard your heart. Follow Him. Too often we come up with excuses for our sin instead of letting God have His perfect way in our heart and life. I can set up all kinds of accountability in my life, but at the end of the day, I'm a very wicked sinner. And like we see in the world often, we can skirt the accountability. The one thing that I can't ever get away from is God. And may He be always there in my eyes, and may He be the protector of my soul. Let's pray for one another, and then let's rest in our great God who is faithful and will keep us from all evil. Point number three, verse number four. The word is continue. So we've talked about pray, we've talked about rest, now we talk about continue. And we have confidence, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, we have confidence in the Lord touching you. So notice his confidence is in the Lord, but it has direct impact on how he views them. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do, so you're currently doing this, and will do the things which we have commanded you. Which we command you, all right? Paul was confident in the Lord's working and in their willingness to do and to keep on doing God's commands. He was actually persuaded of that. What gives us hope when we deal with a rebel that seems to always want to resist God's work and God's way in their life? Our hope is in the Lord, that God is working there, that He is doing, and that one day, as they submit to Him, they will do God's work and will. Now, Paul, as he observed and followed the Thessalonians and got word back, he saw their heart, he could see it, and he knew the Lord was with them. And he says, so he's basically saying, all right, you're following the Lord, keep it up, keep doing it, keep at it. One step at a time, be faithful to the Lord. Continue in the work that God has given you. Folks, we pretty well know what we need to be doing. You've been here, been involved in the work of the ministry. There's lots of work in ministry going on around here. Keep at it. I'm grateful. Right now, there are some people that aren't in this room because they're preparing to serve us. Aren't you glad? I'm getting hungry. Anyways, okay, there we go. Now, if that's all they ever did and they didn't get under the preaching of God's word, that would be a problem. But I'm glad they're serving us today, aren't you? By the way, say thank you. Let us be grateful people. Let's keep doing. Now, what about Saturday morning calling? Well, this week, we're not going to do it because of the holiday weekend. But you can still be a witness, right? How about joining us on a Saturday morning and going knocking on some doors? You say, is that very effective? Well, if you want to look at it from statistic points, no, but it's sure helping me tell somebody about Christ. And at least hand the gospel to someone. You never know. You keep at it. You know, one day the Lord maybe gives us a radio station. Wouldn't that be great? What's it going to be about, sharing the gospel? The world needs to know the Lord. In your home, be faithful. Continue to do the work of being a good mom, a good dad, a good husband, a good father, a good wife, an obedient child, for those of you that are children here today in the home still. Continue. Stick at it. The Lord's faithful. He'll help you. I'm sure He's working in your heart and life. Don't resist it. Follow the Lord. Continue. Again, how is it that we could be stuffed in this auditorium a year from now or needing a new auditorium? Continue. Not continue in your old habits, not in your spiritual laziness. Continue in the work of the Lord. Be faithful at it, and God can use us. Finally today, verse 5. Pray, rest, continue. Focus is the last point. Focus, verse 5. And the Lord direct. This, make it straight. Remove every hindrance and obstacle, all right? What is he praying that the Lord would direct the Thessalonians to do? And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance, the patience waiting for Christ, or of Christ, actually. These are parallel phrases here in the Greek language. So we could say it the same way the first phrase. Direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance of Christ, or the steadfastness of Christ. So it's not necessarily a reference of looking forward to Christ. It's actually helping us look back at what Christ has done, and may we follow His example. What am I to focus on? What is it that will help me continue? What is it that will help me pray? What is it that will help me rest? All right, thanks for asking, Paul says. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Every day, you need to thank God that He loves you. What assurance in the midst of our battle? We face a spiritual battle, maybe a physical battle with sin. Or with disease. Life is hard. Have any of you noticed finances are kind of getting a little tight? It's like, wow, how much money am I putting in my car now? Anyways, you know, hard times come. All right. So what do? Never forget God loves you. I don't think that person will ever hear me when I share the gospel. I've tried several times, Pastor. Huh? God loves you. He's with you in the battle. Keep your focus on Him, not on the problem. As I focus on and pay attention to the love of God, it causes me to rejoice. It should cause me to love Him more, and it should cause me to follow His example as well. And this probably is really what Paul's attention really is on in this moment. As God loved you, maybe I should make it even better than that. As God loves you, so you should love others. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Oh, Jesus knew the answer right away. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Like unto it. Why is it like? Because I'm supposed to follow the example of Christ. And I'm supposed to relish in the love He's given me, but not keep it. The second's like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Many of our personal conflicts in the home, in the workplace, with our neighbors, would be resolved in an instant if I would simply focus on the love that God has given me. Then that problem becomes pretty petty. It's like, oh, wait a second. This person, he doesn't need my fist in his nose. He needs the grace of God. I am so glad that God loved me while I was yet a sinner. I was His enemy. And He chose, not because I deserved it, not because I was being a good little boy. He chose because He loved me, period, to die for me. to offer me salvation. I, by faith, have received it. Turn from my sin. Ought I not, like my Savior, to give that love to others? You want to pray right? Pray for the right things? You want to continue in the work? You want to trust the Lord? All right. Focus on the love of Christ. Did you thank the Lord already today for loving you? For your salvation? Well, if you haven't, you should start getting into that habit. It's a really good habit. Paul says, direct your attention to that. Focus on that. Focus on the love of God. And then, what else am I supposed to focus on? The end of the verse. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Focus on Christ's endurance. If I can put it this way, Christ was not swerved from his deliberate purpose and plan. Aren't you glad? Now you say, did that actually ever happen where there was this possibility that Christ could have swerved from the plan that God had for him to be our Savior? Don't you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if this cup could pass from me. Now you say, well, wait a second. He was God. He was perfect. No, he was human too. He felt the depth of the desire to not follow the plan of God, because the plan of God for him included much pain and sorrow. It included dying. I'm so glad that Christ would not be swerved from the plan that God had for him. If he was, we're without hope, right? Now, believer, that's a sweet example for you and I. No matter what comes in this life, we don't know what tomorrow holds. In fact, we don't know what lunch holds, all right? Hope it's good. Hope it has a little cheese. Anyway, okay. We don't know. But we know that God is with us. And he wants us to serve him all the way to the end. I was trying to help an individual this week understand that though life is hard, God is still good. And he'll walk with you through trying times. Focus on the endurance of Christ. He was stayed faithful to the work that God had called him, no matter the circumstances, and he died for it. May God help us to endure. It could be by this time next year we won't be in a bigger auditorium. It could be that we will be divided. It could be that we could be facing persecution. I hope not. I pray not. We pray that unreasonable and wicked men will be delivered from. But it could be that God chooses for this time and this season in our life that it's not for us right now. What will you do then? What if it's against the law to gather together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do? What if it's against the law to tell someone about Christ? What will you do? What if you get a fine because you're a bigot you hate just by telling people that they're a sinner that needs to be redeemed and come to Christ who knows who is real love? What will you do about that? May God help us, like Christ, to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life and for mine. May I be found faithful, and may you be found faithful until he returns or till he takes us home. I'm going to give an account one day before the Lord, before the very Christ who died for me and demonstrated how to live this life. By God's grace, I don't want to stand there ashamed. So that must mean I must endure like Christ. Now, aren't you glad the Lord is with you? Aren't you glad that he's faithful? Aren't you glad that he loves you, that he'll walk with you all the way to the end? I'm glad that heaven's my home. I read the rich stories of our forefathers, And I look at our modern Christianity and I shake my head in shame. It wasn't an option in their mind whether they followed or obeyed God. I mean, that goes all the way back here to the New Testament. Peter and John telling the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than men. You can tell us not to preach in the name of Christ, but we will. God's greater than you. God loved us. I can do no other. Oh, may God help us as Heritage Baptist Church to be the fulfillment, if I can put it that way, the answer to Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians here. Endure. The Lord's faithful. The Lord loves you. He's good. May we be found faithful to the Lord. May our church never, never fail our loving, faithful God. May we be found faithful until He returns. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for the challenge that Paul gave us today as he gave it to the Thessalonians. May we be found faithfully praying that the word of God would have free course and be glorified, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Lord, may we be found relying on you who is faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. May we rest on you. May we be found continuing, just staying faithful in the work that you've called us to do, the ministries that you've given us to do, telling others about Christ, discipling believers. And Lord, help us to keep our focus in the right place. May our heart rejoice in your wonderful love to us. May we follow your example and love others as you've loved us. And may our focus be on the endurance of Christ, who did not swerve from your plan when there was opportunity to do so. May we be found faithful as well, and may Heritage Baptist Church stand faithful to you through thick and thin, through good and bad, until you come. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Two real questions today, I think, for believers, number one. First, believer, has your heart become discouraged because you're not resting in the Lord? Let Him establish your heart again, and let Him encourage you with His love. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I needed that today. I needed that word of encouragement. Would you pray that God would help me to keep my eyes in focus on Him, His goodness to me, His faithfulness to me, and that that would help me to walk closely to Him? Is that your need today? Say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Yes. Yes, several hands. Amen. Amen. Yes. Secondly, believer, will you stay faithful to the Lord, keeping your focus on the work that God has called you to do, continuing in that work? Maybe you've faced some challenging times, whether it's at work or in your home, among your neighbors, and you sense in your heart this desire to pull back, to pull away, to not be faithful. And the Lord has challenged your heart, and you'd say, Pastor, would you pray? I want God to define me when He returns, to find me faithful to Him, utterly giving myself over to the work that He's called me to do, not drawing back. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you as a believer? You say, yes, that's my need. Yes, amen. 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 Yes. Are you here today without Jesus Christ? I'm so glad He was faithful that He went all the way to the cross and died for our sins. And He offers that freely to you. Turn from your sin. Trust Christ alone for eternal life. Is that your need today? You say, Pastor, that's my need. I want Christ to be my Savior. I want to follow Him. Could I pray for you right now? My prayer won't save you, but I'd be delighted to encourage your heart right now. I say, Pastor, that's my need. Please pray for me. Anyone quietly raise their hand and say, that's my need today, Pastor. Please pray for me. Anyone at all. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done here in our church. We pray that we would continue in it. So therefore, help us to pray, to rest, to continue, and to focus on you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.